the Lord just would not give me that liberty. So we're going to take another route tonight and preach from a very familiar passage of Scripture that I've used a number of times. But I hope that we'll say something tonight. It won't be anything new, but I hope we'll say something tonight that might help the church. And maybe during the preaching, the Lord will move in some way that we can get some light and on what God's doing for us here through the ministry of Island Ford Baptist Church. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalms and chapter 126. Psalm 126. Is everybody warm enough? My feet feel like two pieces of ice, but maybe I'll get to moving here and warm them up in a few minutes. Psalm 126, and when you find that place, if you'll stand with me, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 126. The Bible said in verse number 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, if that's read correctly, that's reading the entire chapter of Psalm 126, six verses 1 through 6. Let's bow together and ask God to help us tonight. Our Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for the precious Word of God. And thank you for the privilege that you've given to break the bread of life one more time this side of eternity. It's my prayer now that you'll steal every heart. And Lord, that you'll open every mind, give grace to every soul. And Lord, that in these next few minutes, you'll give liberty and power to the preacher to preach your word. And Lord, that you'd remind us again of what revival is. And help us, Lord, in these last days to seek thy face. Lord, if only your people would humble themselves and pray and seek the face of God, I do believe we'd find great favor and grace in thine eyes in these last days. Help every heart tonight, save that soul that may be lost and without Jesus. And Lord, for your people, I pray that you'll just bless and move and strengthen and help and give victory and meet every need and longing of every soul, satisfy every heart. And we'll thank you and praise you for everything you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I wanted to preach tonight, church, if the Lord would have let me, on carrying your own load out of chapter number 7 of the book of Numbers. But during the night last night and then today, it seemed that God troubled my heart again for the thought of revival. And so I want to preach to you, if he'll help me tonight, on this thought: what is revival? I believe there's a number of people that's really confused about what revival is all about. I want to say again tonight that revival is not evangelism. James Alexander Stewart said that if you're going to plan an evangelistic campaign, you need to organize it. But if you're trusting God for revival, you simply need to wait on the Holy Ghost. You cannot organize the Holy Ghost of God. And so people today are confused about what revival is. We folks have the idea if the world would get better, then the church can have revival. But yet the Bible teaches as the world grows worse, the prospects of revival for the people of God grow much brighter. I want to say that the world, revival, does not depend upon the mood of the world. It does not depend upon society. It does not depend upon man, organization, or anything carnal, but it does depend upon the sovereignty of an almighty God and His desire to move on the hearts of His people and to refresh and restore them to a place of fellowship that will bring honor and glory unto God. Amen. You see, revival is not for the world. It's for the church. Now, I'll tell you, a man would have to be blind and dumber than a box of rocks to come to a conclusion that the church does not need revival. Friend, we're living in the coldest hour I believe that we've lived in a long time. And we're living in a time when there's less power on the people of God than there ever has been. There's less glory in the church than there ever has been. And there's less influence on the lost and the dying than there ever has been. And so we need a revival. I'm just simply saying we need God to rend the heavens one more time and do a work in the hearts and lives of His people that will bring them to a place in their life where they can serve God with the fullness of the Holy Ghost and enjoy the blessings of God. Now, James Stewart made this statement. He said that he could not preach revival in most of the churches that he attended. I want everybody to get this. Don't nobody miss this. I'm telling you, preaching on revival to a group of people who do not believe God for a revival or who do not feel that God can send revival or will send revival is like casting your pearl before swine. I'm telling you that revival is a holy thing. Next to being saved, there is no greater, no holier a movement than God moving on His people and reviving their hearts in Him. And so revival is a holy thing, and it is a humiliating thing. And most people today, if you try to preach revival in their church, it would be like casting your pearl before swine. Because they simply do not believe that God will send revival. But I want to serve notice on them. I want to serve notice on the devil and any unbelievers that might be in the house of God tonight, that God's still in the reviving business. And I believe this all in my heart, that when we go out of this world, we're going out in a revival spirit. He's not coming back after some old heifer hag, some old filthy whore. God's are coming back after a chaste bride, brother, that's been cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word of God, been purified by the King James 16:11, and ready to go out and meet Almighty God in flame and fire. He's not coming back after a dead church. He's coming back after a live church. He's not coming back after a filthy bride. He's coming back after a pure bride. And I really believe that God desires to, and not only desires, but I believe that God will send revival in the last hour before the rapture takes place. You tell that to a lot of people, though, and it's like throwing pearl before swine. They'll trample the pearls of God under their unhallowed feet. And if you're not careful, they'll turn on you and rend you just like an old biting sow would. That's right, because they don't have enough faith to believe God for revival in these last days that we're living in. Now, I want to say this before I get to my message. That the Lord, also the Lord always, in revival will use those who are unknown and insignificant. Buddy, I'm telling you, we live in an hour when most preachers are so proud and arrogant that God couldn't give them revival if He wanted to. And most of them today are so carnally minded that they'd want to rob God of the glory and puff themselves up or promote themselves. And I'm telling you, when God sends revival, it'll be to somebody that's willing to stand in the shadows and give God all the glory for everything that's going on and not make any effort to rob God of the glory that's due His wonderful name. Now, I know that's right. I definitely know that's right. I read not long ago in the Welsh Revival of 1904 that Evan Roberts hid from the press. When they came for an interview, Roberts wouldn't be there. When he knew they were going to be at a particular church looking for him, Roberts wouldn't show up. You know why? Roberts knew if he showed up, God wouldn't show up. And I'm going to tell you, it don't take a man to bring revival. Brother, it takes the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen and amen. And I'm going to tell you, when real revival comes, man will have to get out of the way and let God have control of the situation. Amen. Buddy, we got a bunch of God robbers today. We talk about robbing God of His tithes. What about robbing God of His glory? Let that soak in on you a minute. What about robbing God of His glory? Now I'm going to say something's going to stagger some of you to death. You'll never have revival without prayer, but I'm telling you that prayer doesn't necessarily bring revival. Revival comes from the sovereign act of an almighty God, because He looks down upon His people in their poverty and in their misery, and by His loving grace, my friend, lifts them out of a place of captivity and brings them back into the homeland where they can worship and honor God in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now, what is revival? According to our text, and I want to preach it tonight in the context that we've written it in. What is revival? I want to say, first of all, that revival is a turning of captivity. Now, I want you to get a hold of that. He said in verse number 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. And so revival is a turning of captivity. I said this Sunday, I want to say it again. I don't know any other preacher, I've not talked to many, but I don't know any other preacher that believes that God can send His people into spiritual captivity today. But I'm telling you, neighbor, just like Judah was carried away down into the Babylonian captivity, down into Babylon, today, because of their sin and because of their rebellion, don't tell me that God would take them into Babylon and then let you and I dwell in Zion and rejoice in Zion, getting by with our stinking sin at the house of God. I'm telling you, God ain't that way. He's not going to wink at the sins of His people. That's right, friend. If they will not repent through the chastening hand of God, God will carry them away into captivity that He might chastise them in a strange land to bring them to a place of repentance before Almighty God. Why, I believe it's Psalm 137 or 139 that talks about Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. You know what their harps was? Their harps were instruments of music. We've hanged our piano upon the willows, buddy. And then said that they that were there that carried us away required of us a song, saying, sing us a song of Zion. They said, how can we sing a song in this strange land? Now, look, everybody look right up here at me. I'm going to tell you, one of the signs of spiritual captivity is that the song is going out of the hearts of the people of God. That's one reason I know that our church has had a little touch of reviving. I could point some of you out in here right now that 3 or 4 months ago you sat back there with your lips together and you couldn't get a holy ground. I noticed some of you tonight really are singing. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because God's moved on your heart. God's revived your heart, and God's revived that song. Amen. And brought you out of Babylon back into Zion where you belong by the grace of God. I wouldn't embarrass nobody for nothing. Well, I won't. I started to, but I won't. It wouldn't be an embarrassment, just be kind of compliment, really. But the turning of that captivity. Now, I want to show you something here. I never saw this until today either. I've seen it, I've read it, but I've never paid attention. He said, when the Lord turned that captivity, we were like them that dream. You know how people are when they dream? Have you ever dreamed, laid in the bed and dreamed and knew that you were dreaming? Huh? Come on now, little children. Come on back to house, little children. Have you ever laid in the bed and know that you're dreaming? And know that what you're dreaming ain't a bit more real than nothing in the world? That Bible said when the Lord turned again our captivity, we were like them that dream. You know what the psalmist has said? He said we were in such a spiritual state that we could not really believe that God was a-doing what God was a-doing. We thought it was a dream, our imagination, that we were a daydreaming, our sinking of mind. We just couldn't comprehend what God was doing. Hey, I want some of you folks in here to wake up, come out of your dream, and realize what God is trying to do at the house of God. Come on, it's like somebody a-dreaming. Well, this can't really be happening. Paul don't know what he's talking about. I'm going to tell you, I'll talk to the preachers that I've talked to. Hey! I'm telling you that God is trying to break through. God is hovering above. And just any minute now, God will break through. Oh, yes, and I want you to catch it. I want you to believe it. I want you to pray for it. I want you to trust God for it. I tell you, it's revival or ruin. It's revival or ruin. I said it's revival or ruin. Hear me well. You cannot separate revival from the rapture. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I hope I'm not. But they went from drinking, they went from dreaming in verse 1 to drunkards in verse 2. Well, I said, we begin to laugh. We begin to sing. Our tongues got all loosed up. Said, is that what it says? He said, we laughed. He said, we laughed. Said, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. They began to laugh and got a loose tongue. Isn't that just like a drunk? You ever? How many? Come on now. Don't y'all sit back there so religious. I know some of you drunks just like I was before you got saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's right. Get a few of them shots in you. The first thing you'll do, you'll start laughing a little bit. Then after you get good and wound up, you just can't hold your tongues. You just can't control that tongue. That booze will make you talk. That's why I know some of you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. You sit there like a knot on log, wouldn't testify if you had an opportunity to testify. And the reason is you're not filled up with the Spirit of God, and your tongue is still lashed in your mouth. They went from dreamers to drunkards. They got drunk on the Holy Ghost. That's revival, son. An old-fashioned filling of the Holy Ghost of God that will make you rejoice in Christ Jesus and testify the goodness of God. Amen. I'm starting to feel about halfway like preaching. Now, I said a minute ago that you couldn't separate revival in the day that we're living in from the rapture. And I'm going to show you why. Because revival is a time of restoration. That's what turning from captivity. When Israel, when Judah was, when their captivity was turned, and Psalm 126 there, turn again the captivity of your people, Lord. Turn us again. Is that what it says? When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. That's right. They were in Babylon, down by the rivers of Babylon. They had lost their song. They had hanged their harps upon the willows. And God turned their captivity. I want to remind you, friend, that Jerusalem had been pillaged. The walls had been broken down. The gates burned with fire. The temple had been destroyed. The city lay in a pile of heaps. And the psalmist looked toward that holy city and cried and begged and pleaded God for to restore the city back to what it was. I'm telling you, revival is a time of restoration. Now, if you was to read first, if you was to read James chapter number 5, when he talks about the latter rain, he always mentions there the husbandman waiteth for the suffereth long or waiteth long for the fruit. And the latter rain there is in connection with the revival. Well, I mean, with the rapture of the church. Waiting on the coming of the Lord. The Lord. Waiting on the coming of the Lord. Revival and rapture. They're going hand in hand. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that we're in captivity. And when God, hey, look here. What do you think the tribute? What do you think that the 1,000-year reign is going to be? Honey, the 1,000 years upon this earth is going to be a time of restoration when Almighty God steps on the throne and restores all things. Have it all to me by the power and grace of God. I'm telling you, before that restoration comes, revival is coming. We're going out with a shout. You can go out with a long face and a pout, but I'm going out with a shout. Bless your heart. Amen. I'm not a going out of pouting. I'm a going out of shouting. I'm looking for restoration, and I'm looking for revival, and I'm looking for the rapture. I believe He's a coming. Hallelujah to God. I believe He's a coming. Restoration. Revival. Always. Brings restoration. When God turns the captivity, He restores. Amen. Now, I'm trying to hurry, but I'm about bogged down. He said, somebody said, Lord, said, what does He restore? And I want everybody to listen to me now. Please don't leave me. We'll try to help our church tonight. I say when revival comes, when restoration begins, one of the first things that'll be restored will be fellowship. Benny, God give me this today, and I believe it's one of the best things I've had in a long time. I'll get to it in just a minute. But I say that because of Genesis chapter number 45. When Joseph and Jacob had been separated. Amen. They'd been separated. Joseph had been sold into slavery, carried off down into the land of Egypt. And there was Jacob back in the land of Canaan, buddy. And their fellowship had been broken. Oh, but when old Jacob heard the wagon wheels a-rumbling. Yes, sir, and saw them wagons loaded with the good things of Egypt. And those boys said, Daddy, Joseph is yet alive. The Bible said that Joseph's heart fainted within him. But when he saw the wagons, woo! When he heard the rumble of the wagon wheels and saw the good things out of Egypt, the Bible said that the spirit of their father came again and he revived. I'm telling you why. He said, now here's what he said. He said, let us arise and go into Egypt and see my boy, for he's yet alive. I'm going to tell you, the fellowship had been broken, and fellowship when revival came was restored to that household. Now, here's what I was getting ready to tell you a while ago. Somebody said, I don't have to have, you know, we don't have to have revival to have fellowship. Here's the thought God gave me. Most people today, look here, Jacob wasn't having any fellowship at all. But Joseph's fellowship with his daddy, everybody hear me now, was long distance fellowship. That's exactly where we're fellowshipping with God today. You hear me well, it's the best thing I've given you in a long time. We talk about reading our Bibles and praying, getting down the woods and getting out behind a stump and down the basement, down to church and fellowshipping with God. But I'm telling you, most of our fellowship with God's long distance. What are you saying, Brother Hall? Draw nigh to God. And I will draw nigh to you. That's revival, Brother Steve. When the people of God, when our hearts are so inflamed with the love of God that we realize we can't live without Him, and we want to be close by His side, and we'll draw nigh to God, and in return God will draw nigh to us and make fellowship sweeter than it's ever been before. Hallelujah to God. That's right, you see. Restoration means that chastisement is past. Chastisement is over. It's now time for mercy and grace and love. Now time for that cuddling up time. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, you fellas that's married, you know how it is. Getting one of them little squabbles. And you just kind of get back to back. You know how it goes. Pull that cover up over that left shoulder. Good night. Good night. Oh, buddy. Oh, buddy, that's how it is. Hey, when they were carried off into captivity, they done turned their back on God, pulled the cover up over their shoulder, and told God good night. But I'm telling you, when God pulled the cover back, and when we draw nigh to Him, honey, it's kissing time. How long did Vince that the Holy Ghost draw you up real close and give you a great big smacko? Which one of the kids, I believe it was Elizabeth. She said, I'm going to kiss you on your yips. How long has it been since the Holy Ghost kissed you on your yips? Somebody said, Brother Hall, you're out of the Bible. Am I? Why does the Word of God say, kiss the Son, lest He be angry with thee and turn again and rend you? Oh, yes, sir, buddy. I'm telling you, we better draw nigh and get a good kiss from the Son. Get that fellowship restored, for truly our fellowship is with God the Father, with Jesus Christ, whom He sent into the world. Restoration of that fellowship. I'll tell you, most of us in this building hadn't been with God enough in the last month to know we've been with God. Most of us men didn't spend any more time with our wives than we do with God. Or spend any more time. If we didn't spend any more time with our wives than we do with God, our wives would divorce us. It takes time to fellowship with God. And it takes loneliness. And lonely hours and solitude. And that's something the flesh don't like. The flesh likes to be around the rumble and the jumble and the noise and the mix-up. That's why women can't stand. They got to have them one-eyed monsters in the living room where they can sit down all day and watch as the world turns and Animal Hospital and puke on all my children. All that stinking mess. Amen! I tell you, I've never seen such a mess that we're in on a stupid television set in America. How many of y'all heard? Somebody said, well, ain't nothing wrong with the TV. You're sick. You're sick. I'm telling you, they just said on the news today that a man got so wrapped up in a stupid ball game on television, he punched his 3-year-old baby in the stomach and killed that baby because he was so stinking wrapped up with television. Now you tell me one thing that's right about a man that loves a starry, stupid, stinking football game more than he loves his own flesh and blood. I tell you, that man's wicked than the devil. Ain't no wonder we can't spend time with God and fellowship with God. And I'll say this to you, bless your heart. If your fellowship with God depends on a song and a message off of WSOF, you're wicked. Well, Brother Hall, I listened to the Oliver B. Green broadcast. I heard Brother Roloff today. Wasn't Brother Roloff? He was really putting her down there today, wasn't he? Son, he's a tearing them hog eaters up. When was the last time you crawled up under a bed somewhere and let God tear your heart up? Turn your TV off. Nay, brethren, throw it out. And turn your radio off. Get a King James 1611 Bible and sit out and fellowship a little bit with Almighty God. You'll come away a-singing, I'll guarantee you on that. Say, it's sunshine in my soul today. Woo! More glorious and bright. Hallelujah to God. I'm talking about sitting down with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, I'm still in this body of clay. Yeah, I know it's because I'm still in my body of clay, too. But I'm going to tell you something. He ain't. You know how in John chapter number 20, he come right through the door without ever opening. He just stood in the midst of that crowd in there. I'm going to tell you what, you just keep praying and praying and getting along with God. And one of these days, you'll suddenly realize that He done crept inside your house. Right.
Hey! Woo! Fellowship! When the captivity is returned, there's a restoration of fellowship. And our fellowship is with God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son, whom He sent.
Oh, yeah. What a sweet story. Restoration. That captivity's turned. There's a restoration of fellowship. And by the way, I want everybody to listen to this now. I ain't quite got started my message just a little ways. But that fellowship, everybody listen to me, was broken by deception. That's right. Them brothers of Joseph. Them deceiving, lying, sorry, no good brothers that were so jealous and envious. And by the way, jealousy and envy is at the root of every separation. Come on now. Come on back in, little children. How's he do that? Come on back in this building, little children. You know how I know that? Because the Satan separation from God come through it. Man's separation came by jealousy. Jealousy. Satan got jealous of God. Amen. I'm telling you, jealousy and pride is at the root of every separation. That's why I said revival at the beginning of the message is a humiliating thing. God ain't going to give revival to a bunch of stiff-necked, proud, stout-hearted people. Honey, we're going to have to humble ourselves. Isn't that odd? Isn't that odd? It's a recipe for revival. That's at the top of the list. It's humble yourselves. Pray and seek my face. Turn to your wicked ways. And I'll hear from heaven, forgive your sin, heal your land. That's revival, folks. Deception. Then there's also when that fellowship was broken in 1 Kings 17, when that widow and her son, when that little boy was stricken sick and died in the arms of his mama, was carried upstairs and laid in Elijah laid him in his bosom upstairs and prayed. And the life came back in that young boy. And the Bible said his spirit came into him. Life came back and he revived. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying forever how long it was from the time that boy died until God resurrected him. He was separated. He was separated from his mama. Don't nobody miss this now. I'm getting ready to give you something good. He was separated from his mama. The first separation come from deception. Jacob's separation come by deception. But that widow's separation come by death. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? Some of y'all sitting in here tonight, you hear me well, and I don't make no bones about it. Steve wasn't praying off the top of his head. Some of y'all sitting in this room tonight is lost. You have no visible fruit in your life that you've ever been saved by the grace of God. And you're separated from your family and your loved ones and God because you're dead in sin. Somebody said, what does revival bring? Life! It restores life! I'm telling you, revival will see sinners saved by the grace of God. I talked to Brother Elliot Smith last night. He called me on the phone last night. I'm telling you, he's as crazy as he ever was. And we were talking and rattling some things around. And he said, preacher, what about the tares and the wheat? I said, what about them? He said, just tell me something about the tares and the wheat. I said, all right, I'll tell you something. I said, when there was wee little bitty tares and wheat, you couldn't tell one of them from the other because a tare looks just like a wheat when they're little. But when they got big tares and big wheat, I said, do you know how? And I'm going to tell you, hear me well. Somebody said, don't judge. You don't know what somebody's lost their tares. You just judge and you don't know if somebody's lost their tares. I'm going to tell you right now, according to Matthew 13, them servants looked out into the field and said, Master, did you sow good seed in the wheel? Oh, yeah, he said, I sowed good seed. He said, then why, them servants said, why are they tares among the wheat?
I'm telling you, the servants of God can distinguish, buddy, not when they're babies, but after they've sat on that pew a while, the man of God can tell whether somebody's a tear or whether they are wheat. And I'm going to tell you how they can tell. How many of y'all have seen wheat growing in the field? What characterizes that blade of wheat when it gets full grown? It's got the fruit sticking right out on the very top of it, buddy, where everybody can see the fruit. But you find a full grown pear and stand it up. Ain't no fruit on the pear. Just a little stalk that grows up green, turns brown with nothing on it. Now I'm going to tell you, honey, if you ain't got any fruit in your life, and I am not talking about coming to church. Well, Brother Hall, Brother Hall, Brother Hall, Brother Hall, I come to church, I pay my tithe, I even sing in the choir. Well, hoop, hoopsie doo, and three for you, and hallelujah, and Hawaii, Hawaii, Hawaii. I'm telling you, friend, that fruit is not in coming to church and paying your tithes. Oh, anybody, a lost man, can come to church, and a lost man can pay tithes. I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what your fruit is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Got any love? Somebody said, well, sure, I've got love. Well, let me put it like this. Love demands action. You told your wife you loved her and went out, and every payday night you went out and got drunk and whoremonged and come home broke the next, come home broke Sunday morning, walked in the house and said, sweetheart, I love you. It ain't going to be long till she's going to say, I just doubt that a whole lot.
Yes, amen.
Action. But in love demands action. What about love? What about joy? Don't die in joy. Some of y'all look like Moses and you. Joy, J-O-Y, joy, joy, joy. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. To stay. Woo! Woo! But I said, why you got joy? Because I'm saved, 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 saved down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Oh, yes, I'm saved, 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 saved down in my heart. Down in my heart. Oh, say, I'm saved. My name is written in heaven. Come on. Somebody said, I'm happy because I healed a sick person, cast out a devil, and straightened somebody's way. Jesus Christ said, don't rejoice. Don't the devil said, rejoice on your name. It's written in heaven.
That's right.
Take your
free.
What about peace? Some of y'all worry about everything. Some of you worry, and I preached it and preached it. You worry about things that you can't change, can't do nothing about, and yet you worry yourself sick about it. Somebody said, I'm not worried, I'm just concerned. Quit biting your fingernails in. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's a difference between being worried and being concerned. Everybody look right up here at me. You can tell the devil has said this. When you worry, your fuse gets short. When you're concerned, your heart gets heavy. You hear what I'm saying? That's good preaching! When you're worried, you're short fuse. And the fact shows you ain't got a bit of temperance, because you got a temper like a wild lion. But if you burden and concern, my friend, you rest in God and trust God for the outcome. I don't know whether you know it or not, but that's pretty good preaching. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Wow!
Somebody said, Brother Hall, now temperance doesn't mean temper. All right, big shock. Temperance means self-control. And honey, when you can't control the temper, you ain't got much.
Thank you, preacher!
Restoration, a fellowship. I won't say when revival comes, when restoration comes, it'll restore families. If you don't believe me, read Genesis chapter number 50. All them boys, buddy, been separated from their brother. Come on now, y'all act like you done seen a ghost. Maybe the Holy Ghost done rung your doorbell tonight. Answer the door and get on out, or I'll go ahead and preach while you're up here. Restoration to families. There was Joseph and his brothers. Not Joseph had no animosity in his heart, but those boys hated him. But buddy, in Genesis chapter number 50, when the revival came and they moved from Canaan down in the land of Egypt to be with Joseph, I'm going to tell you, and when Joseph died, when Jacob died, there's a big change. Them boys come up in front of old Joseph like this. They said, now Joseph, our daddy said before he died, do you be merciful to us now? Hey, not to hold our sins account. I mean, they're scared to death. He could have killed them all. But old Joseph said, hey, said, fear not. Said, you meant it for my evil, but God meant it all for good.
Yeah.
Said, God sent me down here to keep much people, to save much people alive, preserve much people. And there was that family. There was that family. There was that family. Brought together again in God. Somebody said, oh, yeah. Everybody listen to me well. Some of you in here tonight's got family. Family that's kicked out on God. You might as well admit it. They're carnal as the devil. They've kicked out on God. They don't love the church. They don't love the house of God. They got religion. They got a form of godliness. But they deny the paradise. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see a sweet movement of the Holy Ghost to bring your families back to God? Somebody said, Brother Hall, what would you do if God brought some of our families back to this church? You want me to give you a small demonstration? Looks like I'm done demonstrating yet, brother. Some of them doll babies wasn't up on there. I'd take a lamp up on this thing. Woo! Families! Some of you in here, if you tell the truth, you can't even get along with your own family. But oh, that revival. Oh, revival. And restoration. Woo! I don't know about you, but I want it. Because I'm tired of seeing the devil having a heyday. Tired of seeing people destroyed and families ripped apart. Homes devastated just because of sin. And because of Satan. And because of the wicked society that we're living in. Oh, that God would rend the heavens and come down.
Yes.
Dwayne, I've got brothers. Oh, I sat in my mommy's Sunday night and we stopped and got some good old Colby cheese and some of that old stinking hog meat sliced up good and thick and sitting there eating a sandwich and two of my brothers there, one of them I believe saved. And my other brother was there and he's talking about his wife. I hope she's his wife. Talking about her daughter marrying a wealthy man much years and years older than her. How they had a lot of money and they're just giving it away like water. And he looked over at me and said, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. He said, you need to convert Betty's daughter. I said, I'm going to tell you what I need to do. God needs to convert you, young man.
Amen. He said, "Why?" He said, "You can forget that." I said, "What's the matter, big boy? Telephone ringing? Pick her out, Mike." Or somebody said, "You wouldn't tell your brother that." No, you just try me. You think I wouldn't tell him that? I got news for you. I'll see him again. I'm going to tell him again. I've got another brother. Told my mama, said, "Now you tell Gary, they know we like honey." Said, "You tell Gary got all the honey he wants." You know what I'm going to tell him the next time I see him? I'm going to say, "Lord, hey, I appreciate the honey, but I'm going to tell you about some honey that's in the rock, son." Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah! Yeah.
Families, I want my family saved by the grace of God. I want them serving God, loving God, living for God. And I don't believe they'll ever see it without Bible. Restoration. Restoration of fellowship. Restoration of family. Then there was a restoration of faith. Old Jacob said in Genesis 45, he said, "It is enough. I will go and see my son, for he is yet alive." Faith. I'm telling you that we're so weak. Ain't it pitiful? We can't even pray in $12,000 to buy equipment with. Call ourselves Christians. Son, I'm telling you that what's that preacher's name, Miss Hall, had all that children's home over there and used to pray in all that money for them. George Mueller, back in his, I think they said in his lifetime, he prayed in at least $1 million. Somebody said, "Well, that ain't much, because we've done brought in more than that on marathon." But I'm talking about back when George Mueller, friend, when a dollar was something back then. George Mueller didn't have support in churches. He didn't run around and raise deputation and all that. George Mueller had an orphan's home, and George Mueller got on his knees and prayed, and God answered. We don't even have enough faith to get a place at an altar in the church as a church and pray at God. We'll supply our needs. Faith! What do you believe in God for tonight? What time is it? 6 o'clock. Boy, we're having fun. Hallelujah. Y'all don't know it, but I went on slow time. Me well now, when everybody gets this, please don't leave me, because I believe it's good stuff for our church. When God turns the captivity, there's not only a restoration, but these responsibilities comes with it, buddy. When God brought them out of Babylon and led them into Zion, He didn't take them up there and let them lollygag and jackleg and lay around like a bunch of deadbeats. There were responsibilities. There were responsibilities in their labor. They had to rebuild the walls. They had to lay the foundation. They had to build the temple. They had to restore the civil government. They had to restore the law, the place of worship, and it took labor. We don't do bad here, but it could be better. It wouldn't hurt some of you men to come down here and rake some of the leaves up. It wouldn't hurt some of you to come do a few things around the church. I know you're busy. I understand that. I'm not griping, but I'm just telling you. Hey, friend, when revival comes, God sends revival. There's going to have to be. There's a responsibility coming. God don't give revival to any jackslinger. God gives revival to responsible people. I've never seen a more irresponsible society than we're living in. All you got to do is look at the marriage and divorce rate to realize that people in today's society are irresponsible to themselves, to God, their community, society, and everything around them. Bunch of go-getters. Carry a woman off to work and let her go in and sling a bunch of pancakes and biscuits and all that mess, and let sorry men, bless God, hobnob around, pinch them on the hind end, pat around on them, play with them and everything else down on the job. That's right. Then them set at home and be a house mom. No, that junk makes me puke. I get sick. Son, we live in an irresponsible society. You children, hear me well, all you young folks. Whether you know it or not, you're responsible to your mommy and daddy. And mommy and daddy, you're responsible to them kids. Bless your heart. That means Doug and Steve wanted to get their quiver full. They listened to some preachers.
get them quivers full. And they realize that now them quivers has got them a quivering. That with that quiver full, buddy, comes some responsibility. Them rugrats bring on responsibility. And I'm telling you that revival demands responsibility from the people of God. God will not give revival to a people that will sit back on their blessed assurance and wait for God to do everything for them. There's a responsibility to labor. I want to say this, there's a responsibility to learn. Honey, did you ever stop and realize that in revival, heaven is opened and God does a new thing? God does a new thing. God does a new thing. God does something that none of us has ever seen God do before. It's a new thing, and I'm telling you that it is a learning experience, and it will be our responsibility when the floodgates open to learn. Oh, somebody said, I'm pretty spiritual right now. You make me puke. I'm realizing just, Brother Steve, how carnal I am. Oh, yes. I'm realizing just how carnal I really am. I'm going to tell you something. I've suddenly realized I don't know anything about revival. I don't know what to expect. I don't even know what God's going to do in April. I know I'm looking for God to do something in April. I don't even know what He's going to do or when He's going to do it or how He's going to do it. I'm just believing God to do it because He said He's going to do it. Then, hey, He doesn't have to set me down and tell me what He's going to do either. All I've got to do is yield and obey and let God do it. But when He does it, there will be a responsibility to learn. Somebody said, learn what? Everybody listen to me well. Learn the movements of the Holy Ghost. Be sitting. Oh, I'll tell you, we live in a society that knows nothing. Church people know nothing about the power and the working of the Holy Ghost today. If they knew anything at all about the Holy Ghost, and it's so simple that, I mean, it is just elementary stuff, that the Holy Ghost is not going to come in and glorify man. He is going to glorify Jesus, buddy. Oh, learn about the Holy Ghost. I just about put Benny Carper off the air today. I've never seen such asinine remarks and statements from people in all my life. Talking about the church. The church. Talked about the universal church and the local church, and said what was one of them he called? The ideological church and the something other. I said, where in God's name? Where are they coming up with this stuff? I've never seen so many people confused. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, but they suddenly two churches. It's either local, invisible, or it's universal, but it ain't both. Do you think that God, who is not the author of confusion, would start a doctrine that is so confusing as that? That people don't know what to believe. Tell me, somebody jump up right now that's just a layman in this church and tell me a passage of Scripture that you've read. You can tell me whether it's the local church or the universal one. They call the true one. I'm telling you, it ain't there. Folks are so confused today, buddy. We better start learning something from the Bible. I'm not trying to be unkind. Responsibilities to labor, responsibilities to learn. And with revival comes a responsibility to live. And I'm talking about living right. Walking right and spitting white. Get that stinking chewing tobacco and cigarettes out of your mouth. Amen. You ladies, get your dresses on. You men, cut your hair, bless God. And get your right kind of clothes on. Be right and look right. Look like you're somebody, not some hobo out on the street. Amen. That's right. Don't look at me like a calf in a new day. I believe God's people ought to live, bless God, what that Bible teaches. Very few people want to live how what that book really teaches today. Oh, talk comes pretty cheap. Talk comes cheap, buddy. Not only restoration, not only restoration and responsibility, but there's a blessed relief. as a woman in travail with a child when revival comes, it brings relief. You ladies in here that give birth, you know the pain and the agony and the sorrow of going into the jaws of death to bring a child into the world. I'm telling you, friends, there's no less pain in bringing revival in. That's right. It's a humiliating experience. God will lead men and women down the corridors, friends, of humiliation, down into the deep jaws of death. Oh, yes, where we must die that others might live. Y'all ain't left me yet, have you? Relief. I don't know about you, but I've got to have some relief. Oh, the burden, the load, the agony, the sorrow, the bills, the temptations that come when you're in the valley. Oh, some of you would be amazed at the temptations that come to the man of God when he's walking in low places. At the temptations that Satan approaches a man of God with. Lower your standards. Back off. Let up. Drop down. Give in a little. Cave in just a tad bit. Every day, every hour, every minute, the temptation. But oh, when revival comes, it's deliverance. And deliverance brings relief. Then I want to say, revival is not only a turning of captivity. Now I'm trying to hurry. Revival is a time of joy. Look at verse number 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. That's joy. Look at verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Look at verse number 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I looked at that today, and I thought, my goodness, why? Why would revival be joy? And I thought, hey, it's a time of sowing. Right. Hey, folks, you can't sow in the wintertime. You don't sow in the wintertime. You don't sow in the summertime. And you don't sow in the fall. But I'm going to tell you when you do sow. Who said that? Well, Roy, don't get ahead of my message now. You sow in the spring. What is that's all right, Leroy. I'm just joking. Yeah, I don't care. You did not bother me. Hey, but why would you think of joy in the spring? Winter's past. You suddenly wake up some morning and you hear something outside your window. Oh, and you raise up that window and them little old birds. And you look outside on the ground and all there, them little flies. And you know what the springtime does? Woo! Just like a little old gilded horse that's been cooped up all winter. Can't get outside that barn, buddy. The snow on the ground, no grass. Got to feed him with hay and corn all winter. And he can't get out of that barn cooped up in a little old stall. But when springtime rolls around and the snow melts and the sun begins to shine and the birds begin to chirp. And you let that little old horse out of the barn. First thing he does, he runs up there. He's happy. He's happy. He is happy. That's joy. That's the joy of sowing the springtime. God lets us sow. And we can sow in joy because we realize there's a harvest in the fall. God, help us to sow some seed. There's joy not only because of the sowing, there's joy because of the sheaves. He that goeth forth rejoiceth, bringing his sheaves with him, shall doubtless come again rejoicing. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, rejoicing over the sheaves. You know what that word sheaves literally means? Something that's bound. Have you ever bound anything on earth? For whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever things you loose on earth shall be loosed on heaven. What have you bound on earth? Have you bound anything for God? Have you got any sheaves? Have you ever warned anybody to God? Have you ever warned one person to God? Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontime and the dewy. By and by the harvest, we shall come rejoicing. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf. Bringing in the sheaf.
Have you got any?
Bringing in the sheaf. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf.
Have you got any?
Bringing in the sheaf. Bringing in the sheaf. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf.
And I wrote this third point down, why there's joy. And I don't have the answer to it, and I don't know what it is, but God told me to write it down, and I wrote it down because of the streams in the south. I don't know what the application that is, but it says, turn us again, turn again our captivity, O Lord, verse 4, as the streams in the south. I don't know what that means. If you know, you can tell me. I don't know. But it's a time of joy. Then revival is not only turning a captivity into a time of joy, but it's a time of tears. He that soweth in tears, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Somebody said, why are we crying, Brother Hall? Broken heart, revival break our hearts. We're weeping because of a burdened soul. We'll be burdened for the souls of the lost. And get this now, God gave me this today. We'll be weeping because of a breath of God. Friend, oh, how I long for God to breathe on my soul. I'm telling you, some of you don't know what it's like to be in that secret place with God and just let Him just brush by you one time. Oh, and you know that God's in your presence. Makes you just want to reach down and just slip your shoes off because you're on holy ground. My, how it tenderizes that old heart. Tears because of the breath of God. That's revival. Revival is the breath of God.
Amen.
Then in closing, I'll say this. And I want everybody to get a hold of this. Revival, our troubles will be overcome. Psalm 138, verse number 7. Though I walk in the midst of troubles, thou wilt revive me. Troubles are overcome. Now I want everybody to look right up here at me. That Scripture did not say that God would take away your troubles. Revival is not necessarily going to take away your troubles. But I'll tell you what it will do. You can walk in the midst of them with a revival spirit inside. Revival. Oh, I long for it. I had to preach on it one more time. My heart yearns for it. I want it. I need it. I desire it. I hope you do. Lord, grant us revival that we might come with rejoicing, bringing that with us which we've bound for the glory of God. Let's stand together, please.